We've got to have our normal Thursday conversation. When the guests can work you in around PBS, that's pretty badass. Let's go to the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina hotline and bring on the legendary Brian Jones. You see him on CBS Sports, and they all want to talk to him. How are you, Mr. Jones?
My man, I'm trying to get away from Aggies except for you, and the PBS production crew is here. A corporate apartment in New York City, and I'll be damn, one of them's an Aggie.
That ring is everywhere, Brian. You just, I'm telling you, always look at the hand. So. Always look at those hands, because that ring is worldwide.
She was quick to show that ring. I was like, this interview is over with already.
She started swaying back and forth, and you were running out of the room. What's going on? Oh, my God.
Yep, that's it, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. And speaking of things going crazy, I wanted to get your thoughts because, obviously, we always talk Texas with you, but you now have the extra perspective of, yes, you played at Texas and you love Austin, love your Longhorns, but you have that national perspective. So talk to me about Quinn Ewers. Last night, when the number one player in the 2022 class decommits from Texas, did it hit your radar?
Yeah, and truth be told, I'd gotten wind of this probably about a week earlier, man. And that's unfortunate that occurred, but this is that young man's journey to live, and we'll see what transpires. There may be a chance he comes back into the fold, but there's a chance he doesn't. And with all the turmoil surrounding this program, why would you want to jump into that gumbo? I remember being recruited and everything that was ongoing in the Southwest Conference at the time. And even though it was a lifelong Longhorn, I decided to leave the state. So we'll see, what happens down the road. But I'm not surprised at all with the things on the field, the things off the field. When you look as though you're not together, and while Coach Herm has been saying that, hey, that he hasn't lost that locker room, but when from the outside looking in, and things you hear coming out of there don't sound good, why would you want to jump into that ring?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. For those that don't remember Brian's full story, he did start at UCLA and then eventually came home, and he came home to Texas and ended up playing for the Longhorns later on. But those are the kind of things, Brian. It can affect kids different ways. Yeah. And like you talked about, I mean, you know as well as anybody, at that moment he's trying to decide, what are his colors going to be and where is he going to try to put roots down and all these different things. But the fact that it is not just number one quarterback, but number one recruit in that class, and the rumors are he's seriously considering Ohio State. This might be another kid in the state of Texas, grew up loving the Longhorns, that may end up wearing that helmet in the Big Ten. That's just a weird level of frustration for Texas fans.
Well, you have that, and that Garrett Wilson, that kid's
right.
Texas as well. You had the young man LaGrange, the running back.
Dobbins.
Dobbins. Yeah. I mean, that used to be Texas plucking those guys from all over the map because of their great double-digit win streaks throughout the decades. So that's going to occur. It's unfortunate right now, but Texas has to get right. There's really no reason with this article that was just shared with me the other day. Texas among one of the worst at developing recruits. Well, man, that's a shot in the heart right there, dude, or stake in the heart, I should say. I mean, I see something like that come out. That's definitely not cool and can't help. And the other institutions are going to use that against you on the recruiting trail. So someone's got to change this narrative. And the only way you change it is by winning. And that's the only way you get past all the negativity on the field, off the field, is winning. Winning cures every damn thing. It's as simple as that.
All right, Brian, so if Tom Herman's going to do this in Stillwater, it'll be the first time he's beaten a ranked team in a true road game. If he tells you that the way to do it is to continue to use the run game that he found against Baylor, do you think he's right, and do you think they can win that way?
Oh, yeah. I've been saying that since the season started. We've been saying it since last year. You have to have a run game, and you have to be able to run the ball when you need to run the ball. I said it after the TCU loss. They had 7 minutes left on that clock, about 7:50. If they were able to mount a sustained drive on that series, they win that ball game. I mean, and yes, you can go and say, well, they got down there and they fumbled on the goal line after that, the next series, but shouldn't have come to that. If they had been able to run the ball, close out that game with 7 minutes left on the clock, you know, they're victorious. So, yes, running game means anything. You look at the teams that are playing well, that are annually in the college football playoff, they have balance. Balance, and that's what Oklahoma State has. That's what they've hung their hat on. We always talk about the prolific passing offenses in the Big 12. Go back and look at Oklahoma State. And right now they're averaging well over 200 yards a game, especially these last three ball games. And Texas has been giving that up, except for last week versus Baylor. At least their previous two games, they gave up over two bills on the ground. So balance is key. Running the rock is key. That's how you snatch the pride of an opposing team or an opposing defense. You do it by running the rock down their throat.
Speaking of opposing defenses, Brian, you're a defensive-minded guy, obviously. What do you make of Trace Ford, and I dig Colby Harvell, Peel, and they got a lot of hyphenated names on that defense at Oklahoma State, but a lot of juniors and seniors. How real are they to you? I mean, they've played Tulsa and Kansas, so there's a little bit to try to figure out there, but do they feel like a real big-dog defense to you?
Well, and last week, Iowa State shutting them down. Now, Here's the deal. Iowa State, they really only have one explosive player, and that's Breece Hall. He got his, but no one else got anything to eat. So they shut everyone else down. They got after Brock Purdy, forced him into some mistakes. And don't forget about Amen Ogbonmiga.
There you go.
This guy, outside linebacker, is damn good. So, yes, I believe in this defense. But Texas has the requisite explosive offensive players, especially at wide receiver, to threaten this defense. They've got more than one guy, unlike Iowa State. They've got explosive players. Now they can get open, and the big question is whether or not this offensive line can hold up against the pressure that Oklahoma State wants to bring. And they don't always have to bring the blitz to get to you. That's the big question mark, and I don't think they can hold up. I'm just going to flat out say it. I don't think the Texas O-line can hold up against this defense of Oklahoma State. If they could hold out, they could hold up. That would give these explosive players on the perimeter a chance to affect change downfield. But I don't think that's going to occur.
Brian, overall, I agree with you. Before we move on to another game, if your lean there is right and my guess is right and Texas doesn't win this game, does something happen over the weekend with Tom Herman? Do you think it could happen that quickly?
Yes, it could happen that quickly. I'm hearing it's going to happen.
Wow.
That quickly. And even if it doesn't happen, I'm hearing, the die's cast, unfortunately. Okay. That's what they're saying. That's the word on the street.
I got you.
And I'm not being nonchalant and cavalier about people's futures because, that's the most difficult portion of our gig is opining on people's livelihoods.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm hearing, yes.
Okay, Brian, there's one ranked matchup this weekend. It is Ohio State at Penn State. Obviously, a lot of sting taken off of it when Penn State loses to Indiana. But what do you make of it in the battle of the blank helmets? Is it going to be a ball game? All I need to know now is, can Penn State make this a fourth quarter game? Because I feel like Ohio State might just run from them.
Wait, man, LSU and Auburn aren't ranked? I guess LSU didn't get their ranking back, did they? That's what we've got.
We're going to get to the Battle of the Tigers.
No.
We'll get to that game. But, no, Brian, we're living in a world right now where LSU, Auburn are both unranked, and SMU just lost, and they're still ranked. So I don't even know what to say about that, but that's the truth.
Oh, my God, that's ridiculous.
I know.
And Cincinnati held them below their every metric that they usually have on a given weekend. They were well below scoring and yards and all that stuff. So
I know.
The Bearcats get a number on them. Hey, first of all, Penn State didn't lose. Dog Michael Penix Jr. did not cross the goal line, even though in the record books they say he did. I'll say this about that Penn State defense. They were fabulous until they weren't. Heading into that fourth quarter, they had held the Hoosiers to 100 yards of total offense.
Wow.
100 yards of total offense is all they had. And it was Michael Penix Jr., though, that last drive of regulation to tie it up. And in overtime, this dude threw some dimes. I don't know how he was able to fit the ball into the receiver because there was no window there to speak of. No window whatsoever. And he found a way to get the ball into those little creases. And, of course, they tied the ball game up, and then his legs got involved when they went for two in overtime. So Penn State defense played well. I think they'll give Ohio State a much better game than, of course, Nebraska did. And Nebraska was able to run on them. And that's where Penn State's going to run into problems because last week it was all about Sean Clifford, the quarterback, and his legs. Who else is going to step up? Who else is going to be that explosive player? Who else is going to be someone that can threaten the Ohio State defense that didn't play great? Of course, it was their first game, first live action. I expect mistakes, and you get better in week two, and they will. But there's no one else I can foresee stepping up for Penn State. They lose Journey Brown before the season starts, undisclosed injury. Now you lose Noah Kane, the other running back, in the game last week.
Yep.
Who else is going to be able to just cause some type of concern for the Buckeyes defense? I don't know if there is anyone that can do it.
Yeah, Penn State says they have a deep running back room. They get to prove it now. They absolutely get to prove it. Talking with Brian Jones of CBS Sports, and as we talk CBS Sports and the 2:30 kick, look, I know the records aren't beautiful, but Brian, I always love it when LSU and Auburn get together. Talk to me about who's feeling the most pressure. Like, I would assume Ed O gets a little bit of a reprieve after what they pulled off last year. We all know Gus Malzahn lives on a hot seat. He's got a summer home on the hot seat. So what happens in the Battle of the Tigers here in terms of the pressure? Like, I would think it's more on Auburn and Gus. Would you agree?
Well, LSU is thinking not only do we have to beat the Tigers, we may have to beat the officials as well, because you're talking about the ball bouncing your way.
Yep.
For Auburn, how many games now? Three, where the ball has gone in their favor. Arkansas, of course, versus Ole Miss last week, and Kentucky in the first game of the season with Chris Rodriguez, the running back for Kentucky. They said he didn't cross the goal line. So they've had some fortuitous calls that helped them. I like what LSU's bringing to the table with this T.J. Finley, this freshman quarterback who got the start last week. Man, just watching him on tape, this dude just stands there and just flicks his arm. He's a big old rascal, too, 6'6", 242. And I think it's going to be hard for Miles Brennan to get his job back. Now, Orgeron has said when he's healthy, he's going to be the starting quarterback. But this kid, he continues to play like he did last week. They had their highest team rushing total. They had their best yards per pass attempt, 12.6. Burrow was right about 10.6, you know, 10.8. And they hit 12.6 last week. They have a plethora of wide receivers led by Terrace Marshall. I'm going to go with LSU in this ballgame. That being said, Bo Nix, who I have not been high on, played his best game of his career there at Auburn, hit 78% of his passes. They got Seth Williams involved, all those other wide receivers. So they're going to be tough to tangle as well from that stacked wide receiver room. And this tank, Bixby,
yeah,
he is the man. This true freshman running back is really special. So if I'm LSU, I'm trying to shut him down and hope that the inconsistent Bo Nix shows up. But I'm gonna lean LSU in this one.
A lot of great youngsters in that game. That's the 2:30 kick on CBS. It always looks good. We'll see. And it's always a head cracker when LSU and Auburn get together.
No way.
I love that game. I can't wait to see it on Saturday afternoon. All right, Brian, another one you know I'm interested in on Saturday evening is Arkansas at A&M. It's one that the nation won't even check in on unless it turns into what it's turned into, which is sometimes a crazy close ball game. Do you think A&M is ready to deal with prosperity, or do you think this is a new version of Arkansas and that they can get the win and finally end this losing streak against A&M?
Isn't it always drama filled when those two hook up?
Mm-hmm.
It's always crazy. Now, I like this Arkansas defense. You turn on the tape, 31-27 at linebacker, number one, I think it's Jalen Catalan, I believe is his name, freshman. This guy brings the wood from the safety position. Number seven as well is damn good. So they got a defense that flies around. They're number one in the SEC in takeaways, but their Achilles heel is rush defense. They're near the bottom as far as that's concerned, and that's where A&M really has an advantage. And I would unleash Isaiah Spiller all day long, just like the Aggies did against Florida. And I think the Arkansas defenders will play tougher, wrap up a little bit better. But right now, they're not playing rush defense as great as Barry Odom and, of course, their head coach Sam Pittman would like. So I think that's going to be the key. And also, you know, Kellen Mond, much like Felipe Franks, you know, those two cats that you expect a lot more out of. And Kellen Mond had his first career 300-yard game a couple weeks ago at Auburn. And, of course, Mond went off versus Florida. Those guys came a little bit back down to earth in their games after those I just mentioned. Yeah. So we'll see which one of them can stay away from the mistakes. And I would take A&M in this ballgame just because of their rush offense and their defense, man. They get after you as well. Buddy Johnson, the guys, Bobby Brown up front. So I think A&M will win it.
It's a 6:30 kick. It's in College Station this year before they go back to the Jerry World setup. Right. But they're just going to do 1 year in College Station because of the COVID situation. All right, Brian, before I let you go, talk to me about the two big dogs. Bama loses Waddle on the first play. But what amazed me is they threw to his backup on the first play of the ball game anyway, because they're just Bama and they just put another guy in. They end up thrashing Tennessee, and then Clemson ends up in it was a little bit of an uncomfortable game. Dabo bristled in the press conference like, hey, I think I'm at the right press conference. I think we won by four touchdowns. So anything with Bama or Clemson that you'd put a little question mark over right now, or are those still the two dogs?
Well, maybe Syracuse is a little bugaboo. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe that's just the one team that there's always one, it seems, that has your number or that you seem to struggle with on an annual basis. So maybe that's their one if you're Clemson. You're right. Well, Slade Bolden comes in, and Bama just does what Bama does. Avante Smith, he steps up, does his thing. Of course, you got Mechie, the third. They have so many that they can insert into the ball game, and they don't skip a beat. So I don't expect them to fall off too much now. Now, once they get into better, bigger and better competition, the absence of Jalen Waddle, who's just a phenomenal football player. That dude, he sizzles like a fried egg, man. you're talking about a threat. Anytime he has the ball, he's got an opportunity to take it to the house, a real opportunity. He could be gone. So losing that type of threat will hurt any offense. But when you have as many big play the guys as they do, I don't think they skip a beat currently. Bigger ball games down the road. You know, Georgia was like, you know, why did he go down? You don't want anybody to go down, but why did he go down against us? You know, that's one less guy you have to concentrate on. But there's a reason I had Waddle on my Heisman list, man, during the preseason, because he's just a superb athlete. And hopefully he gets well soon, and we'll be back to doing what he does best. They won't need him here anytime soon, but once we get into that college football playoff, and hopefully we make it that far, or even before that, the SEC championship game, they'll definitely miss him.
Yeah, Brian, remember, I'm an A&M fan. You don't need to convince me Waddle's twitchy. I know.
I know.
That is a tough it's a tough dude to deal with, man. Bama and Clemson have Handle Your Business games this weekend. Bama hosts Mississippi State in an evening kick. Clemson has Boston College in an 11 a.m. game at home. Both games at home. Both teams ought to handle their business. And remember,
Boston College now. Boston College, they're the new management too. Jeff Hafley came up from Ohio State. Now they'll hit you before the whistle, during the whistle, and after the whistle.
Okay.
So keep your head on a swivel when you're playing BC.
Might be a close one. Remember back in the day, Brian, when we were young, when Miami had that trouble game with BC with Ed Reed and the crew? Yeah, it can happen. It can happen.
You know, there you go.
Just when you think it's one of those weekends, it turns into something else. Whatever happens in LSU and Auburn, you can see it on CBS. 2:30 kick, Brian, and he will look better than anyone on the set, but the others are going to try to hang out. Coach Neuheisel tries to hang, and poor Zucker is trying.
Adam.
He's trying to hang. Adam's trying. They're handsome men, but they do. By the way, I want you to know, Brian, your glasses are so cool on the air. A buddy of mine texts me, I don't know what I love more about Brian Jones today, his suits or his glasses.
I try to switch them up, man. I've had to resort to them, but I'm trying to switch them up and keep you on your toes.
I tell you what, if I can get some glasses that look that badass, I'll go readers and I won't even worry about it. But I don't think they'll look as good on me. They won't look as good on me as they look on you.
I've convinced Adam to wear his, and now we're trying to get Neuheiser to wear his readers. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, his wife's readers look better than the ones he wears. So had his wife's readers one day, but we tried to get him to wear them on air. He wouldn't do it.
Y'all need to put the little croaky chain on there. Put the chain on there for him so he can just have it sitting down.
Oh, it's hilarious. The director said, coming back on camera, he's snatching those bad boys off so quickly.
That is so funny, man. I love watching you guys. I can tell y'all are having a great time, and you're doing a wonderful job as always. Can't wait to check out the PBS thing as well. Let me know when that's coming out, and I'll let everybody else know. Brian Jones, CBS Sports. Have a good weekend, man.
All right, my man. Tell Trey to get well soon. He and my buddy Jack got sick down in Cabo.
Yeah, man. What kind of crazy weddings are they running down there?
Hey, no kiss and tell, right?
That's right. Exactly. They're spreading more than love down there sometimes. Thanks, Brian.
All right.